accession number 18215, reel 6.
Mr. Rosetsky, reel 6.
We carry on. I'm actually spelling NKWD. In Polish way, we used to say NKWD. So I'm very sorry for that, but you will know what I meant. Now, Russians had a different approach. They had a softer approach. Instead of torturing you, they had a chat with you for hours, and again the same question. If you were a suspected subject, counter-revolutionary, then naturally they would force you to make false pretenses and so on. And then people exhausted, probably first who were in prison, they probably thought that they wouldn't harm you. So they were giving all details about themselves. So naturally the end was very simple. Back to Russia and into Siberia. Simple. Or killed on the spot. If you were a member of Polish underground, you were an officer, definitely killed. I'm not sure, but I believe that whether you were an officer or just ordinary soldiers in Polish home army, you were just the same way killed as officers. And that was happening all the time in Vilna region, Belarusia, Ukraine, because these were our so-called friends, the most cruel friends. And they were not badly treated in pre-war Poland, believe me, because we wanted to make them part of Poland. So in many cases, they had more privileges as true Poles.
You were talking about this Captain Walter in the Hotel Astoria in Prague, and you said that he was acting for the Polish communists.
Yes.
What was he doing in Prague?
Well, he was sent from Poland to organize transport of Polish soldiers who could be found in Czechoslovakia back to Poland. Must have been some sort of agreement between Czechoslovakia and Poland. And as you can see, that Polish dispersed underground movement could be anywhere. But bear in mind that... can you allow me a second stopping the machine, because I have to think something about. Now, I have to correct you, because probably I made a false statement that Captain Walter was sending Polish soldiers. I would say any Pole who was found in Czechoslovakia, rather civilians, or some deserters from Polish army, whatever. Anyway, I found that all the people in that camp were Poles. I didn't ask them who they were, so that has to remain unsolved. Anyway, that specific camp was precisely for this purpose to send Poles back to Poland.
And this was it at Karlo Vivari?
No, that was in... Karlo was the camp. But my contact point was Prague. Karlo near Pilsno.
Well, the Germans called Pilsen.
Pilsen, yes.
And so Captain Walter was acting openly as an agent of the Polish Communist government?
Yes, he was in uniform, having a military car, properly marked.
And but at first you didn't realize...
I didn't realize who was he working for. Why? Because that was our known contact in Prague for escaping west. So I assumed that whether he was even in Polish regime army, he was still working with for us. And that proved not the case.
At one stage, when you were describing the Operation Bourgeois, you said that the unit moved to the Jamna area. Why did you move to the Jamna area?
Because this was the best terrain to be operational. High walls and not just one area wooded, but practically all around. So that and to my estimate, this was definitely the best choice. I believe that before we started acting, the High Command were properly discussing where we could operate successfully.
How much damage to the German war effort do you think that you did?
As I said, at Jamna, 60 were killed and 100 wounded. So that's quite. And if we lost altogether 20 people, that's it. In my company, some say I lost 4 people. I would correct 2 people. First was in my when I was leading company Jastrzom, Eagle, and at Jamna only one, and that was young brave chap from Warsaw, pseudonym Cesare. Unfortunately, what has happened? I was just testing the rifle he was using, and for the establishing the the distance. Then I passed the rifle going, so we were about 1 meter apart, and he suddenly was hit, and so badly wounded he died. And there is a commemorative burial ground in Poland now, well marked with stone finish. So that, mind you, in wherever Armia Krajowa's members killed, or single or groups, there are memorials now. There are plenty of them, and actually, I have somewhere a book on them where they are. So, because there are many other actions. Now, should I mention to you also one happening? Because we had one chap who was parachuted to Poland, trained here in England. So when we split the battalion after escaping from the encirclement, he was in charge of a platoon. Now, on his way where he was given order, he stopped for the night in a peasant hut, which were well on the outskirts of huge woods. Now, would you believe that peasant went to Germans and reported that? Now, they had a security guard, but they never thought anything would happen from the back wood of high woods. So that peasant led them precisely right from that wood And so the I believe that five members of or more have been killed, including my courier who joined that union. So, as I said, his name was Matula, pseudonym Radomysz. He should be on the list of people who were parachuted to Poland.
Matula.
Matula. So, now, that peasant was then executed by Polish underground patrol. That was a very, very sad happening, that there was the only one where someone could spy. Now, in wider spectrum, you realize that Poland was the only country which didn't produce Quisling, which means someone cooperative, or Petain.
Collaborators.
We never collaborated with Germany. Never. So now you, concluding, now you understand why Warsaw Rising took place, why three bridges helped, why we were preparing overall rising. Because we wanted to be recognized on the map. Somehow our allied failed in 1939. We didn't like Jalta or Potsdam, where Poland was chopped off eastern part. We probably happy now to have what we got from Germans. But if I may mention privately, we never trusted Germans, and we never trust them again. Now again, if you know Polish history, Poland never started a war against any neighbor. We're always in defense and still bravely fighting for our freedom, which is very important. Then you understand also how on earth Polish simple people joined Polish underground. You can't expect patriotism from them. But you see, that means that how bad systems of Hitler or Russians were, that people united and paying very, very high price. Now, I would like also to mention what I didn't mention before, which was very important. Whatever action we were taking, whatever we were doing, we paid very heavy price. Supposing that we killed a German or a spy, 100 people were executed by Germans in a retaliation. 100 people. So can you imagine? Also very, to terrorize, you could see a very unpleasant picture. Some people hanged, half a dozen of them, because that was a system to terrorize us. So I'm very proud that Polish nation not only paid their price, but they passed very good exam.
Could I ask you about the Azerbaijanis that
yes.
you mentioned? Why did they leave the German army to join the Polish resistance?
Because they believed that now I have to be quite honest and think for a second. Probably they understood that Germany would lose the war. What they didn't expect, that the Russians would occupy Poland. And believe me, they must have been all then executed. And again, we are a bit bitter about England allowing Cossacks to be sent back to Russia. Not one survived. You see, in any warfare, in any war, the casualties unforeseen, very unpleasant from historical point of view.
Did you meet the Azerbaijanis?
Yes.
You worked with them?
I won't say you worked, because that was a company, and actually attached far away from my 530 hill. So I did meet. Further, I can say something else. We met also Russian partisan platoon who were acting behind the lines, preparing. Now, the task, as far as I know, they were supposed to establish and prepare landing area for Russian planes. So, one of the first ones, actually bang into my company, so I had to give help them with some food, but making them drunk, we got from them some pepesha and quite a bit of weapons. Now the next two units also were very, very well equipped. And they definitely had that, what I said, specific task to establish landing sites. One was the name Dovgalev, in the rank of probably captain. And they were very, very efficient and very clever. Now, I sometimes wonder how... Now, that means how Russians already were preparing to occupy Polish terrain. They must have precise maps, because those units couldn't possibly operate without good information and without some communist information center, which were organizing well ahead of the time. So here you are. And
Was there any conflict between the Poles and the Russian partisans?
No, because as I say, originally we had no instruction to whether to fight against them or what to do. What could you do if you meet Russian? Would be bitter fight, big losses, for no purpose whatsoever. So we simply... Some people here in London are critical of that we dared even to meet them. We didn't associate with them. We simply met them. So another, they banged into us, not we. We were not searching contacts with them. In the eastern part, the Russian units and partisans, they were searching contacts with Polish underground movement. But again, for simple purpose, to make a list of them and to do what was directed from Moscow, finish them off. They did. And we have many, many proofs that not one home army unit in Vilno area or other area ever survived. They were simply fast, very friendly, very touchy. But the order was not even from the commander of that unit, direct from Stalin, from Moscow. So the destiny for Poland was clearly defined by Stalin what to do. So what German have not finished, the Russian did. So any intelligent was enemy of communists. Any officer... enemy of the... That's why Stalin ordered to kill those 12,000 officers in Katyn and other areas.